Good morning, everyone. From the hymns we've been singing this morning, I'm pretty sure everybody should know who Jesus is and that he saves souls, in which many of us have been saved, for which we're thankful. This morning, I wanted to speak about a person in the Bible, Elijah. Elijah. He was prophesied that he was going to come. Now let's read that. It's the very last verses of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Verses 5 and 6. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I think it's been said that the Bible, the Old Testament, ends with the word curse. But there are other verses that show the New Testament that the Bible ends with blessing and salvation. Okay, so we have here Malachi, prophet, who spoke about 420 B.C. You know what B.C. means? It's getting so nobody knows it anymore. I saw it on TV in the History Channel the other day. They're calling B.C.E. What does that mean? Before the Common Era. Before the Common Era. What happened to Jesus? What happened to before Christ? That's been forgotten. It's wiped out. But as it is now, we're in what used to be called Anno Domini. What does that mean? In the year of our Lord. So they've wiped that out. They don't have that anymore, A.D., in the year of our Lord. They have it C.E., Common Era. It's crazy, the things I was brought up with and taught, they're gone, but we can still stick with it. We who know the Lord and believe his word, we can still believe it and stick with it. So I was saying, this prophecy was given by Malachi about 420 B.C., and to tell you when Elijah lived, he lived about 900 B.C. 900 B.C. And to put this in perspective now, the captivity of Israel was 721 B.C. by Assyria under King Shalmaneser. The captivity of Judah was in 586 B.C. by Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. And so we get back again to what this is about. Elijah lived about 900 B.C. Now, all through the New Testament, there was much sort of confusion about Elijah. And I've got all these verses, but I don't want to read them all because I want to tell you more about his life in the Old Testament as we read that. But one of the first I'll read it is Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Reading at verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not been a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. He hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's much confusion in the New Testament about Elijah. I don't want to read all the verses, but I've got them here. And I'll mention some of them. Men were saying that Jesus was John the Baptist or Elijah. They couldn't figure it out who Jesus was when he appeared on the scene there in those early days. Some were puzzled and thought, this is John the Baptist. Now what happened to John the Baptist? John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod, and his body was given to the disciples. And in sadness, the disciples picked up the body of John the Baptist and buried it. And so then there came a thought among some that, well, maybe John the Baptist has come back to life, and it's Jesus. Now, it wasn't that at all, but they thought that. It was like confusion about these matters. And then King Herod thought Jesus was John the Baptist, but others said that he was Elijah. This adds to the confusion. Even the king, King Herod at that time, thought that Jesus was John the Baptist. Why? Well, John the Baptist was beheaded by King Herod. And there was some thought when they saw Jesus doing the miracles that he did, the power that he did, they thought, I wonder if this is John the Baptist who I beheaded and who died, and now he's risen from the dead. They wondered that. They thought of it. And then we have another strange scripture in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 verse 28. This is known as the Transfiguration of Christ. Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. When they were awake, they saw the glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered in the cloud. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." My beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and no man told. No man in those days told the things at which were had seen. Now, this is a strange thing, and it appears in the New Testament. It has to do with two Old Testament people who died in different ways. One of them died and the other didn't die. Now we have Moses and Elijah. And they appeared in glory with the Lord Jesus when he was transfigured there in these special raiment, white and glistering raiment that he had. And strange thing, they were talking about something. They were talking about him. They were talking about Jesus. What were they talking about? It says that they spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. In other words, they were talking about Jesus going to die. Now, this is strange. Moses had already died 1450 B.C. Elijah was taken to heaven without dying 900 B.C. So between those two, there was 550-year difference. And yet in heaven, they knew each other. They were talking together. And what were they talking about? That Jesus was going to die. They were talking about him. And the Lord Jesus was right there in the midst in those special garments that he had on. So here they are talking about something that was going to happen. Now, as we read the Bible, we find that God had in his plan before the world was even, before the world was created, that Jesus was going to come and die. Why? He was going to come and die for our sins. And so we find that he died on the cross, and there he suffered and bled and died, and he gave us his life there at the cross. His precious blood was shed, and we find out that he accomplished that great act of salvation which we have read about. When the Lord spoke on the cross, when he was dying, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." One of the soldiers said, "This man was a son of God, because the earthquakes happened," and so on, right at that moment. They found out that this all was going to happen. But how did Moses and Elijah know all about that? Who lived 550 years apart, and when they were in here in his presence, having been raised up, they were talking about this was going to happen. They spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem, which actually happened. But so Elijah was part of that. And Peter, not knowing what to say, he said, "We ought to have three tabernacles here made for Jesus and Moses and one for Elijah." Three tabernacles. A voice from heaven said, "No, this is my beloved Son. Hear him." And right away, those two other disappeared from view. They were taken away. So that's what happened there. Now, some other things happened in the New Testament. James and John, at one point, when Jesus was going to preach to the Samaritans, James and John said to Jesus, "Shall we destroy them like Elijah did?" The Lord said, "No, you don't know what manner you are of. You don't know what kind of a person you are of. You can't do that." Then the priests and the Levites, at one point, asked John the Baptist if he is Elijah. And he says, "No." He didn't admit this, and perhaps he didn't know it, but he was fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures that spoke of how this man, John the Baptist, should come. Now, a strange thing happens at the cross when the Lord was dying on the cross. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, reading at verse 45. "Now there was the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is to say, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' Some of them that stood by this, when they heard that, said, 'This man calls for Elijah.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." He died. So those that stood by the cross and they heard him cry, "Eli, Eli," they thought, "He's calling for Elijah." Now, the way he spoke was in the language of Aramaic. And they didn't understand that language. They didn't know what he was really saying. So when he said that, and he called out to Eli, they thought he's calling for Elijah to come and save him. And he wasn't at all. He was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" on his cross. And the reason was he was forsaken because he was carrying your sins and my sins on him there on the cross. And he was paying there the price for our sin by dying there in our Roman stead. So we have this strange thought at the cross when Jesus cried out. Now, James speaks of Elijah praying earnestly. We ought to read that, James 5. James 5, verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one to another for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So we find here that Elijah was earnest in prayer, and distinctly that there might not rain. And so it was dried up. The earth was dried up on account of his prayer. Now I think we ought to go into the Old Testament now, the verses that I have here. We'll turn to 1 Kings 17. First Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, that's King Ahab over Israel, the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee westward, eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and there before Judah, before Jordan. And it shall be that those that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So we find that because of his prayer, it stopped raining. I wonder if somebody's been praying now. It had rained quite a while. Anyway, he prayed and it didn't rain. And then he was fed by ravens, it says, and he drank of the brook for water. But then in 17, in verse 8 to 16, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widowed woman there to feed thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil and a cruse. Behold, I am gathering the sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee and for her, for thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that God sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. This is a strange happening, isn't it? Elijah sees this widow woman, and he says, fix me some cakes, and it was with oil. And she says, well, I was just going to do that for my son. My son, we're going to fix it for him. That's all we've got left. And we eat that, and then we're going to die. Elijah said, do what I say. Do what the Lord has told us. And so from that point on, the barrel of meal did not waste away. They kept it on for a long, long time, probably 3 years. And the oil did not fail. The oil kept on and on and on. It's a miracle. What happened? And Elijah was part of it. And then, it's still chapter 17 here, 1 Kings 17, verse 17. Came past that the son of the woman, mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? He said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of the bosom and carried him up into the loft. And there he abode and laid him upon his own bed. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the woman, the widow of whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times, cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child revived, and came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the son, the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, see here, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is the truth. So this happened also. The woman's son died, and Elijah prayed to the Lord and brought him back to life. Now, I want to get to the next one, but we haven't got much time for it, but I want to bring it to you anyway. This was also under the kingship of Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, in 1 Kings 18. I'll just tell you what happened here. The king Ahab was trying to lead the people of Israel to worship a false god called Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal, Baal. And Elijah said, this is all wrong. This should not be. And so he says, we're going to have a showdown on this. Who's right and who's wrong? And so what happened here was that the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, came out, and they had a place to put the offering on this place, and they put on the offering of an animal. They prayed to Baal, and they said, "Baal, Baal, Baal, please come and take this offering." And since they prayed all day and all night, and they couldn't get anything to Baal to do. And Elijah says to them, what do you think you're doing here? Why don't you shout louder? Why don't you cut yourself? Why don't you make it more loud to this Baal, if he's alive? Let him come and consume this offering. And so they did it all day and all night, and they couldn't get anywhere. And so now we find Elijah says, "All right, we're going to see what the real God's going to do." And so he put his offering on his sacrifice place, and he poured water all around the thing. To think that during this time there was no water, there was no rain, and yet he's telling them to pour water all around his offering, which they did. And then he called on the name of the Lord. "Lord, please show these people who's the true God. Either you are or Baal is. One or the other." So it says a fire came down from heaven and devoured the offering. In spite of all the water that was all over the offering, it was devoured. And so the people saw and they said, "This is the God is the true God. He's the true God, not Baal." And so Elijah says, "Let's take these 450 prophets down by the river. We'll kill them all." So how he did it, I don't know, but it says he killed 450 prophets of Baal. And the people then recognized that God was the true God and Baal was not the God. And so from that point on, they were told to follow God, the Lord. They said, "The Lord, He is God. He is the true God." And so we have that lesson in the Old Testament. There's another one. When he brought fire down from heaven, 2 Kings 1:10. We'll look it all up. He brought fire down from heaven and consumed all these false people that were worshiping Baal. And then I'll read 2 Kings 2:11. This is under King Ahaziah, also another wicked king. Verse 11. And Elisha, that's another prophet, Elisha, saw it and cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the God, Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view by Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, this is one of the happenings in Scripture where someone was taken to heaven without dying. Now, we've been told in the New Testament that that's what we're looking for ourselves. Any day the Lord Jesus Christ may appear and take us to glory, and we shall be taken there. It says our bodies will be changed because we can't stand the temperature and everything of the heavenly bodies. And it's called the taking up to heaven without dying. So this happened already to Elijah. And the strange thing was that he prayed that, oh, if only Elijah had left me something, like his mantle, his clothing. And so when he went up to heaven, his mantle fell back down. And it landed on Elisha. And Elisha now has his mantle. And he goes by a river here. And he prays to God about it. Let's see what this mantle can do. He swept the mantle across this river. And it opened up and they could walk across the river. This was the time when he was taken to heaven without dying, and his mantle falls on Elisha. I've told you this before, but it's nothing like this happening. But one time I was in Jamaica, West Indies. I went there 6 times. But this particular time I was at a meeting. So the brothers were at a gathering. And they were planning to have a gospel effort in which they were going to have a tent. They were going to have trucks with seats in them to carry people to the tent for the gospel meeting. And I was at this meeting where they were planning. There were probably about 30, 35 brothers there from different assemblies. And they did all the planning. And the brother in charge says, oh, wait a minute now. We shouldn't disperse this meeting without somebody giving us a message from the Word. And I was with Brother Arthur Hart, who was a missionary down there, sitting next to me in the chair. And when the brother says, somebody ought to give a message from the Word, nobody said anything. It was quiet, quiet, quiet. Brother Art pokes me in the ribs. He says, brother, I think the mantle is falling on you. So I got up and gave a little word to these brothers that we're going to have this gospel meeting there. And that's what I know about mantles. All right, so we had a lesson on Elijah. We could have had more, but it would have taken too much time. So now let's give thanks to the Lord and ask Him to bless the Word to each of us. Dear Father and God, we thank Thee for Thy holy Word, which we've been considering this morning, thinking about Thy prophet Elijah, and all the things that he did and how he wanted to bring people to Thee and away from false gods, Baal, and how his heart was really set on setting the Israel, the nation of Israel, back to Thee. So Lord, help us this day now as we go forward, that our hearts may be set on Thee, O God, that we might know Thee, the true God, who Thou art, and Thou couldst save souls, and Thou couldst do it as Thou hast done it many times in our midst. We thank Thee now for salvation, which Thou hast given to us, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins. We thank Thee in His holy and blessed name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.